Okay, welcome back, everyone. It's 2, oh, it's actually 1:50. I was thinking it was 2 o'clock. It's 1:50, and we are reconvening to take up our afternoon program to review and discuss the compiled evaluations received from in-person voters, supervisor judges, county election staff, to review and discuss compiled pricing and support information, providers' project plans for training and implementation in 2016, and to discuss any additional information to be requested of each provider, if any. And of course, public comment. So with that, Dwight, take it away.
Okay. Hi, this is Dwight Shellman. Give me just a second here. Doink. Doink. So the first thing I wanted to preliminarily cover this afternoon is some preliminary price compilation that we've prepared. And if you give me just a second, I just want to open up a document. So what I'm displaying on the screen right now is actually from the November 13th meeting. This is a letter in which I requested the providers to give us information basically in two waves. The first wave was in advance of the November 13th meeting, and the materials they gave us are in the November 13th folder of the Pilot Election Review Committee's page. The second wave of information I requested was for this meeting on December 4th. And I just want to scroll down here. Dink, dink, dink. Sorry, give me a second. And that's on page 6. It's the subheading in this document is the narrative for the December 4th meeting. We requested them to provide preliminary project schedule and staffing plan, the proposed staffing for implementing their system in the state of Colorado, and then some information that Donetta specifically had previously requested that we obtain from them. We want to know the jurisdictions in which these current systems are deployed right now. We want to know the jurisdictions in which the provider has a contractual commitment to deploy systems. I requested 2016 through 2020. I think all of the providers just gave us 2016, which probably means they don't have any contractual commitments past 2016. And then finally, jurisdictions in which they have offered to deploy, but they're not yet under contract, just so we know what those are. All of this information is compiled in a separate notebook, which you will be receiving. And it is on the website, and I'd like to show you where. So here's PERC's homepage, and I'm in the December 4th, 2015 meeting. It's this third bullet item, proposed project staffing and implementation plans, and each vendor is separately listed there. But I am providing those in paper form to the committee just because it's sometimes easier to work with paper and make notes and so forth. So the other thing that we provided in your notebook today, the one that you have in front of you, is under tab 1 is our initial draft, and I want to stress this, these are preliminary compilations. They are not final. I have confirmed the substance of the information with each of the providers, but none of the providers have seen the summary that I've prepared for the other providers, and I want to give them an opportunity to comment on that, just because we're trying to compare apples to apples here. And if one provider has recommended a system configuration that is more expensive because it provides more capacity than we actually requested. They ought to have an opportunity to adjust the pricing or the configuration so that we are really looking at apples to apples. This sounded to me initially like a very easy thing to request and to do. I've now spent 10 days on it, and I assure you it is not. And these spreadsheets, just for those who are participating, are not yet up on the website. I need to make it very clear on them that they are preliminary because I don't want to get anybody in trouble and I don't want to get anybody angry at me. But I do have the drafts that I was working on here. So, this is the summary of Clear Ballot's costs as we've determined thus far. And let me just walk you through the methodology just so we're all clear. Sorry, I got to go back to a page here. So in Colorado, this is kind of complicated to even ask this information. When we first began the UVS initiative, that was before House Bill 1303 had even passed. And then after House Bill 1303 passed, I don't think we had a really good sense in the state of what percentage of voters were going to vote in person, what percentage were going to vote by mail, et cetera. And so in the original UVS proposal, we asked the providers to give us costs for a county with 100,000 voters. Well, there are no such counties in Colorado, exactly. So we, in this request from the Pilot Election Review Committee, we narrowed it down more. We broke the counties into six different tiers. Basically, the tiers are the statutory calculation for the number of VSPCs that each county must have on election day in a general election. And we're using that formula because that is the maximum number of VSPCs that are ever required. We have tier one, which under the statute is more than 25,000 active voters. Tier two is 10,000 to 24,999, and tier three is less than 10,000. As a practical matter in Colorado, tier one encompasses a whole bunch of counties with very different voting needs because it is for counties with 25,000 or more active voters. And in practical terms, what that means in this state is you have counties that have 25,000 active voters, but in the same tier, you also have counties with more than 350,000 voters. And their voting system needs are obviously very different. So what we did for purposes of this exercise is we broke tier one down into four separate tiers, and they're listed here. Tier 1.1 is the largest. It's 300,000 or more voters. Tier 1.2 is 200,000 to 299,999. Tier 1.3 is 100,000 to 200,000, basically. And tier 1.4 is 25,000 to basically 100,000, okay? That's what the tier means, tiers mean. What we then did was, in order to project the capacity that these voting systems need, we extracted data from all 64 counties from the 2014 general election. And we selected that election because that is the highest voter turnout we have had thus far under Colorado's election model. So, for each of those tiers, we came up with the average county in those tiers. So a tier one county had counted a total of, I'm sorry, a tier 1.1 county counted a total of 226,892 ballots in the 2014 general. Now bear in mind that some of those tier one counties counted more, some counted less. What we're asking the vendors to do is give us a price for the average county in that tier, okay? The other important factor here is the average highest daily volume of ballots processed in each of those tiers. And that's an important number because we know that the equipment the county must obtain has to be capable of not only processing the total over numerous days, but also processing the total highest daily volume in a single day, right? In every case, the highest daily volume of mail ballots in every county was election day itself. The same is true for in-person ballots. It's election day itself. So we extracted those numbers for each of the county tiers. And then for in-person ballots, the other important equation is what is the average number of VSPCs that that county must have if they are in that tier? And that's a statutory formula. A county can always opt to have more VSPCs than are statutorily required, but there is a statutory minimum. So in a tier 1.1 county, for example, an average county in that tier is required to have not less than 23 VSPCs operating on election day in a general election. And I provide you with the rest of the numbers across the other tiers. So, in order to get as accurate numbers as we could, what we did was we took the 2014 general statistics and we extrapolated them for a presidential election year, which we all know is the highest volume any of us are ever going to have. And we did that basically by taking the numbers from the 2014 general and increasing them by 33% to reflect the higher voter turnout that we saw statewide in both of the most two recent general presidential elections. And that statewide turnout among active voters was 92% compared to the 69% we saw in the 2014 general. So that is how we arrive at the projected numbers. And all of that's important because that is what these systems need to be capable of. And so we asked the vendors to provide us to recommend a system configuration that will handle those highest daily volumes for the average county in each of the six county tiers. Okay? The spreadsheets that I have not yet put on the website, they will be on the website. I'm sorry, go ahead, Chuck.
People listening in cannot hear, so I don't know.
Oh. Go to phone. Give us a second. That's not good. Can you unmute that? For someone who's on the phone with us out there, if you could unmute your, if you can hear me, can you unmute? Better yet, someone who's in El Paso County, if you can hear now, could you please text Chuck? Yes, and again, it's not in the books. It was in the materials that I gave you at the last meeting, but I can email it to you separately just to make things easy for you. Well, I don't know how to remedy this problem. We're broadcasting.
You can see the screen, but can't hear.
Okay. So to remedy this problem, what I'm going to do, I'm sorry, I don't know how else to do it. Everything else here indicates it's working correctly. I'm going to... Yeah, if you can't hear on the telephone conference call, if you could hang up and call back in and let's see if that works. And if that doesn't work, I'll hang up and we'll all call back in. Oh, yes. And if you can't hear me, you didn't hear any of those instructions. I tell you what.
Maybe it should be best.
Yeah. Can't see what I'm typing.
That's pretty good, except there's an extra calling
No, he said that didn't work.
Doggone it. I love technology. You know what? I'm gonna take that back. Can they just listen to the webcast? It's the audio.
We try to hang up our phone.
We're gonna.
Yeah, she said she's gonna switch over to listen to on the live broadcast for people.
I don't wait. Do you have the login credentials?
Hang up?
Yes, we are.
For this?
Hang up the conference call.
There you go. Yeah. Call stuff here.
Okay, let's do it. Okay.
Welcome to CenturyLink Conferencing. Please hold while I confirm your passcode. Thank you. Your passcode is confirmed. When you hear the tone, you will be the 16th person to join the meeting.
Can you all hear me now on the conference call? If you've muted your phone, someone unmute and let me know.
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Sorry about that. I don't know.
Can hear.
I don't know why these techno-magical things happen, but apologies. So I was just explaining the county tiers that we're going to be looking at when we review some initial, very preliminary pricing information. And just so everybody on the conference call, if you missed it, sorry, I'm dancing around our website here. So if you go to elections, voting systems, and then over here to the pilot election review committee page, the The county tiers are explained in this letter that we actually posted for the November 13th letter. I'll make sure a copy of that is in today's folder as well. And it's explained, I think, in section 7 of this letter. And here's kind of a summary, this table. But basically what we're trying to do is get use historical data from counties of various sizes to determine what the needs of the voting system must be, and then we're projecting those requirements to account for the higher voter turnout that we will see in a presidential election. That is going to be, at least based on our current information, what the systems that the providers have recommended for each county tier must be able to handle. And the providers have given us that cost information. I, just so people on the webcast and on the phone understand, I have circulated a preliminary summary to members of the committee in the form of 4 spreadsheets, 1 for each provider. They have not yet been posted on the website. But that will happen immediately after the meeting. It'll probably happen tomorrow. And I just wanted to explain to the committee the manner in which we calculated these numbers. And the committee hasn't had an opportunity really to review this. We think we've already identified one math mistake in the Dominion spreadsheet, which I'll look at afterwards. I will double check and make sure the math is right. I don't understand why that mistake is in Dominion's, because I had Dominion review it. It may have. I may just flip the formula. But we will get the information up on the website. We'll get it corrected. And then I'm going to share the spreadsheets with all of the vendors, because I've worked with them to compile their own individual spreadsheets, but I also think it's important for them to review the other spreadsheets just to make sure that we are comparing apples to apples across the board, okay? So that's all I really had on pricing. If committee members have any questions.
Teak with Eagle County Clerk's Office. One of the things that I think, what you just said, apples to apples, for instance, on ES&S, where they have their proprietary scanner, is included in the cost. But it appears to me that so far, at least on Clear Ballot and Dominion, the central count scanners are not part of the cost.
That's actually not correct, but I totally understand why you would think that.
That's good.
So for the Clear Ballot, just looking at the Clear Ballot worksheet, the central count tabulation and reporting hardware, it's the 4th line item down, Clear Count System. That includes the server. It's all the hardware. It includes the server, the workstations, the scanners, okay? So it's just they itemized it differently than ES&S. And the same is true for Dominion. It's the, again, it's the 4th line item down, central count hardware. And that's workstations and scanners. Dominions are priced at $25,000 each for one of those systems. So for a tier 1.1 county, they are recommending a total of 4.
Can I ask another question?
You bet.
You know, when I'm looking at just very quickly trying to focus in on one set of data because of, you know, my county, and then I can see what my questions are. They'll apply to everything, basically. But how could you have a system that would be allowed without adjudication software and hardware? There's nothing. In other words, in the tier 1.4 full, for for example, in Dominion. You have adjudication hardware and software costs, but then there's nothing in the minimal. I mean, that who's going
to... I'm sorry. Let me explain that. So in addition to each of the six county tiers, we know that Colorado counties, many counties want the ability to, for lack of a better word, control their own destiny. They want to be able to program their database, lay out their ballots, and basically run the election with a minimum of additional services from the vendor. That is the difference between full and minimal. In Dominion's case only, let me back up on the issue of adjudication. ES&S currently does not offer any adjudication, online adjudication. The ES&S system outstacks ballots that need to be adjudicated, and they must be manually resolved and duplicated. Okay? They have said that they are developing an adjudication module. My recollection is that is not going to be ready by the time we deploy these systems in advance of the primary. I think they were looking at a third or fourth quarter 2016 certification of that. The online resolution and adjudication is kind of included as part of the package with both Clear Ballot and with HART. Dominion is slightly different in that the adjudication module is an option. The county can opt to include it or not. And just because it's an option there, I just kept minimal to mean minimal. We want to buy the least, and we'll do manual adjudication, and we'll hire the vendor to build our ballot, basically.
Teek, again, I'm really glad I asked that question. Thank you.
Okay. So I know this is a matter of great interest throughout the state. We will get these up on the website. I do want to check my math because Teek thinks I may have flipped the formula, and she may well be right. So I'll double check that. We will get these up over the weekend. Okay.
What weekend for you?
Yeah, this weekend. Tomorrow.
Next item.
Okay. And I'm sorry, this is kind of hard for people on the conference call to see, but the notebook that Eddie just distributed to members of the committee, it says notebook 2 of 2. This is basically the vendor's proposed project plans, staffing plans, and the list of jurisdictions where they are otherwise engaged. They submitted this information to us on Monday, and so we are providing it to you. And this information is up on the website already for other counties who want to look at it, or members of the public. Then, returning to the monster notebook, which is notebook 1 of 2, I just covered kind of high level the summary and detail of the proposed pricing, which is tab 1. Tab 2, we're getting into the evaluation materials that we requested the pilot counties to distribute, complete, and collect. Those evaluation materials are basically of three types. One was the in-person voter evaluation form, just evaluating their particular experience using the ballot marking devices. We got how many? 22 total evaluation forms?
From
in-person voters.
Oh, in-person voters, 1,763.
So we got almost 1,800 in-person voter evaluations. I have not given you a copy of all 1,800 of those. And what I'd like to do now is have Eddie explain to you the compilation that we have supplied. I'm kind of jumping ahead here, kids. I'm at tab 10, compiled summaries of voter evaluation forms. We have input all of those forms into basically an online tool so that members of the committee or any member of the public can go to the website and kind of drill down into the details of those evaluation forms.
So the reason you weren't getting it earlier is that you have to delete the browsing history.
We'll just do Control F5.
And because the web page doesn't refresh all that often.
Yeah, but if you do Control F5, you do the same thing.
So my turn?
Yeah.
So this is Eddie at the Secretary of State's office. I finally get to speak on here. I've been helping with the committee compile the evaluation forms, telling members where to go during voting events. She's got all this behind-the-scenes work, and this is one of the things that I worked on. It's the voter evaluation matrix. So, you know, with 1,700 responses, that's just too much information to look through simply. So I made this pivot table. On the left side here is a table with the average response per question by provider. So the questions are all down on the left. The providers are here in the middle column, and a grand total for an average across the providers. If at the bottom here is a bar graph that shows you, you know, the answers kind of visually, and then this right hand table is the number of responses per provider on the question. If you want to dig a little deeper, you can filter by any of these things.
Can you scroll down?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And here is the question that you're looking at also on the screen, so you don't have to go look at the form. So, you know, a really useful thing that you'll want to do is probably look at each individual question and compare them side by side. Just for example, I don't even know what question four is off the top of my head, but we can look at just question four, and the data for that will just come up, the number, the averages, the responses, the bar graph, and then you'll know what question four is. You know, just looking at this, you can look at, you know, and this isn't a reflection on any of the providers, just as just an example, I happen to randomly pick question four. You can look at the responses and see what counties or what providers scored higher, what providers scored lower. And you can go a little deeper into that because we asked for comments from the voters on each question. So you may want to know why Dominion scored high on this particular question and why Hart scored lower on this question. You can go to the data sheet, which is the Excel spreadsheet that has all of the data entered. And this also has filters. And one of the filters here is the comments filter. So we were looking at question four, and we want to know why voters liked Dominion on question four. So we're going to select question four, select Dominion, and select comments. And this will show us all of the forms from Dominion that voters left comments on. Using this, you can go to the website, which there's a link included. And select the, so let's look at, Mesa, County 39. You'll be able to open up all of the voter evaluations from Mesa County in a zip folder. They're organized by VSPC, so in this case, we're looking at VSPC number one. All of the forms are here, and this is number 160, and you can go right to number 160, open that, and find whatever comments. Oh, in this case, I guess I didn't enter a comment correctly. But that's just an example of how to use this pivot table. In the binder, I've just broken it down by total. All of the questions are included on the first page in tab one, and then each question on subsequent pages. So you can just look at a very broad overview, but if you want to go in depth, you can.
Clear out the screen so people close this.
just minimize that.
I mean, okay.
Screen, and then get back to the pivot table. So basically, and just so members of the public understand, the form basically asked voters to give a letter grade to various aspects of the ballot marking devices, just like in school, a grade from A, very good, to F, very bad, basically. And you can see just from the composites that Eddie has put together with the pivot table that essentially all of the systems have done very well. They're all in B plus to A territory. It looks like a huge difference between them, but basically we're spreading out the numbers between a grade point average, if you will, of 3.55 to 4.0 or 3.8. So they all did, generally speaking, very well. Yes, and Teak.
Thank you. I have a comment. As important as this is, and it is very important, I want to make sure that everybody listening and in the audience and on the panel understands that this is a minor part of the voting system components. We had in Eagle County, for instance, two people vote on the electronic equipment in this last election. So I'm very respectful of the time that it took to put this together, and I really appreciate the information. But it's a very small part for me in my evaluation of these systems. And I just thought that needed to be clarified.
Okay, thank you. I think that's a very valid point. Okay, so that's enough on in-person voting. We have all the data available for you. You can drill down and look at it just absolutely as much as you want. The next items I'd like to show you in the notebook, and if on the website you could go to the county evaluation forms. So these are all on the website as well. The second of the three evaluation forms we asked the counties to complete was the county election staff's evaluation of the system. Those are all on the website there, listed by county under the county evaluation forms heading, and they appear in your notebook in tabs 2 through 9. And then the third of the three evaluation forms we asked counties to distribute and collect were the forms to be completed by the supervisor judges of each VSPC. Those are...
They're
included?
Yeah, they're in the VSPC.
We're probably going to break those out so that they're separately stated. We're having problems with this monitor, too. But in any event, they are available on the website. They're kind of included with the in-person voter evaluation forms at the moment. And they are included in tabs 11 through 18 of Notebook 1. And then the final item that I'd like to call to your attention is behind tab 19 of your notebook. This isn't an evaluation form, but the global conditions of temporary use for each of these systems requested the pilot counties to maintain a pilot system log where we asked them as contemporaneously as possible to note any anomalies they observed, any shortcomings they observed. This was kind of to be a compiled list of things they didn't like about the system. And the counties have, I think, done a very good job in getting us that information. And that's what those logs are. I just wanted you to understand where they came from. So that is the sum total of the evaluation materials that we've collected. And then the other material, as I mentioned, that we requested the providers to give us in addition to pricing is their proposed project implementation and staffing plans. And that is what notebook 2 of 2 is. And again, that is on the website as well. Finally, each of the committee members has been given a CD. Another requirement of the global conditions of temporary use is we asked the pilot counties to basically provide us with a copy of the system audit log generated by the voting system for each of the workstations, servers, and devices, and an example of the reports generated from the various modules. There's probably over 1,000 documents on this CD. This is not posted on the website. If any member of the public would like a copy of the CD, please ask us and we will provide it to you. I didn't want to print out another 75,000 pages for you guys to haul home. So that's what's on the CD. And with that, wow, Chuck, you're right. I really just wanted to use this afternoon session to orient you to the written materials that we all now need to review in anticipation of our meeting next week.
Next Friday,
yes.
Members of the committee, do you have any questions? Steve.
Yes, this is Steve Reynolds, Weld County Commissioner. Dwight, can you kind of go over how we're going to address this in our next meeting? I mean, as we're come back with comments and evaluating everything else, and I know you said we would be making a vote on the recommendation for the secretary. So what is the action plan for this?
Well, the action plan is for all of us to review the information that we've been provided. Everything we've gathered is, I mean, the most recent stuff is in these notebooks. The other stuff is all up on the website. And the purpose of next week is to have a discussion amongst members of the committee regarding your review, any questions you had as a result of that review. And then I think we need to go to a preliminary vote, a vote of the committee as to which system each member would recommend to the secretary that goes forward to permanent certification. The secretary has said, I think ideally would like a single system, but he's also said uniformity doesn't trump every other concern here. And if there's something that works better for a large county rather than a small county, I think he's open to that. I think our recommendation can be whatever we want it to be.
Are you looking for us as the committee members here to kind of weigh each area? I mean, as Teak's comments earlier here, I think, well pointed to not overweigh just the decision making here on one particular area, whether it's the voters or piloting counties or the cost net. I mean, would you like us, I guess I'm asking for some guidance here, I guess. Would you like us to kind of weigh all four areas, because I kind of see four areas to this?
I'm not avoiding your question. Let me have Teak chime in because I think she has some ideas on that.
Yeah, this is Teak with Eagle County. It's exactly what I was going to suggest. I was going to offer what my approach would be, because I think that applying a predetermined order of priority to each of us is not necessarily the way that I would go about it. I think that each individual might have a different order of priority, and knowing the different concerns and the different perspectives from which we all come to this committee. So I was actually going to suggest that all of us, looking at the evaluation forms as a starting point and perhaps deviating from those main subject areas, put together a ranking. This is, you know, if I have a tough set of people that I'm interviewing for a job, I try and make it as scientific as possible and as objective as possible. Now, that might not be my only consideration, but it's a good place to start. And so putting some sort of a grading on the categories that we think are important in the order of priority to get started. And then the other thing that I was going to ask, and if Harvey is listening, I'm sure he'll appreciate this comment, but, you know, if we had some sort of a ranked voting method so that we would know from each of us what is our first, second, third choice perhaps, maybe it doesn't go to fourth. You would know what the fourth was, I suppose, by process of elimination, but or maybe first and second choice. And if there are some considerations in addition to those choices, instead of just saying this is the one or the two, you know, the third was a close, you know, tie for second, but it didn't quite make it because. But as much information, similar to, you know, what commissioners do when they're preparing for their deliberations, prepare as much documentation and evaluation before we get to the meeting and have the discussions, and then obviously things can change, but yeah.
Well, in the original RFP that really has been terminated now, it's just no longer live, there were precise weights assigned to various factors. The Secretary did not want to do that. This is just because, you know, there are a bunch of different factors that are going to go into our individual recommendations, and we should be able to enunciate what those are. But, you know, there's an element of judgment that goes into this as well, and he doesn't want to be tied down by mathematical weighting. He wants to know what you think and why. And so, Steve, to get back to your original question, I guess what I would ask the members to do is come to next week's meeting with a recommendation of what you think the Secretary should do and why. You know, and if, and you know, to me, there, you know, there's some kind of obvious categories. Number one is the suitability of the system to what is essentially a mail ballot election model. Number two is obviously pricing. Number three is, which is going to be in your second notebook here, is what is the bench depth of the provider? Can they pull this off in the state of Colorado in 2016? Do they have a well thought out staffing and project plan? Those are just three kind of very high level issues. It's just kind of by design, it is not any more structured than that. Does that make sense? Okay. There are two final items that we will be presenting to you next week. One is our report of the mock risk limiting audits. The bottom line is that we know all of these systems capture the information needed to conduct a risk limiting audit. A difficulty shared across the systems is the manner of exporting that data from the system. We did it. We feel we can do it. We think there's better ways to get the exports, and we'll be asking the vendor, whoever is selected, for a commitment to develop that with us so that we get exactly what we need. And we have a little time to do that. We don't have to implement risk limiting audits until 2017. The other issue is we went and observed voter service and polling center setup for each of the systems. We want to give you a report on that. And Danny, I'm forgetting one. Tabulation throughput. Oh, and we also went out and independently measured tabulation throughput on the various devices. The bottom line is the rated throughputs that the vendors are claiming are essentially very accurate, but we'll just give you that report as well. And we will put those up on the website on Monday. We will email them to you on Monday so you can have them in advance of the meeting. So that's where we are.
Members of the committee, any other questions? Donetta.
This is Donetta. The one thing that I think that you kind of alluded to is the pricing may change after these vendors see other people's pricing. So when that happens, we'll have that. How soon, how long are you going to give them? And how soon would we know that kind of information?
Well, I think what we're going to have to do is I'm going to have to distribute this stuff not later than Monday. They've done the heavy lifting on the pricing already. So I think if I request responses by close of business on Wednesday, and we can distribute those to you either Wednesday night or Thursday morning and discuss them in more detail on Friday if necessary.
What time will we start?
Friday, we are going to start at 9:30. And I haven't issued a public notice or a specific agenda yet. We will do that on Monday. But I think we should plan, and I know the amount of meeting time here is getting difficult, but I think we should just plan to take as long as we need. I don't know how long the meeting will last. Yes, Teak.
Teak Simonton, Eagle County. To the degree that it would be helpful, I would be happy to do this once we sort out that one column situation with Dominion. But in putting together by tier one sheet that would be a comparison just for first year costs, because I think that's really what's most prominent in clerks' minds. You know, we're already past our budget processes and we need to be making quick adjustments if we can. So the first year costs for purchase, and you know, maybe what it would be is just the full, I mean, I guess we could do full and minimal by company and by first year purchase and first year maintenance combined to get a really nice quick one page view of, okay, you know, is this a million versus 200,000 or is it, you know, 250 versus 200,000? Down the line?
I actually have that. I haven't shared it with you because I don't want to put out the one pager until the four pages are right. But I will be able to distribute that and put it on the website on Monday as well.
Good job.
Donetta.
Sorry. Once they give you different figures, will you be able to accomplish that by the meeting, do you think?
Yes, because I'm going to the extent they have different figures, I'm going to ask them to input different figures into my spreadsheet so that everybody's in the same format. So, yes.
And just addition, that's for 1 year. That's the purchase and 1 year like Teak was talking about.
Well, we've asked, because there's interest in some counties to spreading the pain out a little bit, we have asked for five-year lease information from all of them. I would like to include that because that makes it easier for some counties to get there. And the 10-year cost information that you see on all those spreadsheets, actually the secretary requested me to include that for the benefit of the county commissioners, because that's a particularly important issue for county commissioners, probably more so than for clerks and recorders in some respect. But that is simply whatever the 1 year cost is times 10. I mean, there's nothing magic about that one. Okay? That is all I had for today. Yeah, thank you, Clarissa.
I'm going to ask if there's any public comment from the folks on the phone, from anybody here in attendance that would like to address the committee. Yes, please come up and state your name.
Good afternoon. I'm Pam Anderson, the Executive Director for the Colorado County Clerks Association, and the Executive Board for the County Clerks Association and its members just wanted me to pass along to you our thanks for the committee and the work that you're doing, the Secretary of State, and the staff that has done such a great job in trying to create this process and evaluate these systems, and finally to the companies who were willing to come to Colorado and do something that really isn't happening anywhere else in the country to let us get a really good look at what is looking to be a great improvement for what we're utilizing right now in what the county clerks, and you know, I'm absolutely certain I'm biased on this, know is the best model in the country for providing elections. So thank you so much for the work you've already done and the work that you have stacked in front of you for what's going to be, I think, a fairly difficult job in trying to evaluate these and making sure that all of the jurisdictions have exactly what they need with all of the diversity that we have out there. So even when our model is so consistent. So we really appreciate it on behalf of the county clerks.
Thank you, Pam. Anybody else from the public? Phone listeners? Chuck?
Chuck Berman, El Paso County. I know we're not done yet. We got another couple meetings, but, you know, Dwight, this is a heavy lift and a yeoman's effort by you and your whole team in putting this all together. You have shepherded this process very well, and I just want to acknowledge that to the behalf of the public, the great work that you guys have done to put this in the position that we can make that decision here in the next 10 days.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I should say, I would really like to thank the members of the committee who have been extremely patient and flexible. This has been quite an undertaking. I swear I did not know what I was getting into when the secretary asked me to do this, and I said, sure. But anyway, thank you all so much. And I've said it before, the vendors who did this, I honestly do not think this has been done anywhere in the country ever. And it took really smart people at the providers, and I thank you all so much. And I'll say it again, we have such great county election staff. We are so fortunate in this state. And these pilot counties did a scary, risky thing superbly. Not one of them had an issue. That is remarkable. And I just want to congratulate them. Couldn't have done that without them.
Yes. Echo all those sentiments. And thank you to the committee members and to the members of the public. The counties that attended today presented the findings. Thank you to the vendors that came out a couple of weeks ago and presented to us. And to the committee members, we have a really long process ahead in a very short period of time. So I thank you in advance. And I know that next week and the following meeting are going to be very tough for all of us. So with that, I entertain a motion for adjournment. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Seeing none, we're adjourned at 2:48 p.m. Thank you, everyone.